Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
In this episode of my daily meetings, if you haven't heard by now, we open up our very honest, open and daily meetings that we have to run this company because we're not affected by anything of the current economic disruption. And I'm just opening up to the public. So there'll be something in the show notes where you can get to the public meetings if you want to attend and ask questions for yourself as well. But we're talking about focusing only on prosperity. And I'm trying to, this episode actually happened May 6th. What is this, a week away? So you're going to hear it a week away. But I'm telling my team to make sure that they focus on what is ahead, on all the things that are only prosperity. The fight isn't against me. Fight isn't against anything else. The fight is always and will forever be for prosperity. Period, point blank. So hopefully you enjoy this, and let's go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Secret to Success podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest who is going to definitely give you some secrets to success. We have Miss Susie Carter here with us today. She is the Profit Coach. So, Miss Susie, thank you so much for joining us today. I am now going to give you the floor so you can tell us all about you and who you are and what it is that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, first, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Like, I love starting businesses, building businesses, selling businesses. And that really came from a need, right? I was a single mom raising two babies and had to make some money. And, you know, didn't know how to do that. And devoured content, went into bookstores, and I built five multi-million dollar companies. And my last business that I built was over $2 million. And so I'm not an expert at, like, don't have a formal education, but I do have my PhD, which is my public high school diploma. So I always say, if I can do it, anyone can do it. You just need to know what to do, how to do it, and what steps to do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, so I want to let all of those mothers out there, if you heard her correctly, she has a PhD, public high school diploma, so you don't have to have the degree to build multi-million dollar businesses.
You do not, right? And women are the best networkers. 40% of small businesses are owned by women today. We are taking charge and coming up, which is very exciting.
All right, ladies, yes.
This is the time. This time in history, we've never had more power, more authority, more access to money, right? Autonomy with each other. So I think this is the time. And for, even if you're starting a side hustle, right, to really leverage taxes and save more of that, you know, W-2 money, you want to own a small business of some kind somehow, no matter how small you start, but it can grow to millions. Follow my structure and I will teach you to grow to millions.
Thank you. Speaking of structures, you have the predictable success method. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So I am a creative, and so I'm a butterfly, right? Squirrel, sparkle. And so I needed to create a structure. How do I build a business? How do I create profit? How do I make the money that I want to make? And so I created this 10-step process to really look at, follow these 10 things, and you too can build a multi-million dollar business. Right? It takes commitment, it takes dedication, it takes focus. But again, if I can do it, you can do it. Right? There's no reason, especially in our country, we're blessed that we have the ability to be able to start a business, launch a business, monetize that business, and have the write-offs and the advantages we do. And women-owned businesses, and the caveat, minority-owned women-owned businesses, there's so much more opportunity now than ever before in history. So this is our time. This is our season to be able to leverage, grow, expand, and make a profound difference.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So it says here that you have 20 years experience. Well, 20-year track record. That includes building two $10 million companies. What initially started you into becoming the Profit Coach? Where did Susie Carter Profit Coach begin?
Love it. Well, my vocation is I was a hairdresser, and I did $250,000 a year as a hairdresser. The average hairdresser makes $30,000 a year. And it took me probably about 10 years to really realize what a unicorn I was. That was not the norm. That was a complete anomaly. And I wanted to get back to my industry. I wanted to show people, like, you have to do this business thing, because 15% of our financial success is based on our technical ability. The other 85% is everything that I focus on and teach on. You have to be good at your 15%. I have to be an amazing speaker. I have to be an amazing coach, right? But the 85%, which is system, structure, laying it out, dedicated sales time, managing your finances, putting together a strong marketing plan, or other people doing it. But we have to put those things in place inside your business. So I really learned to systematize what it is I was doing. We have systems for everything. Systems for how we cook, systems for how we clean, systems for how we take care of our children. Men have systems, you know, how we drive a car. There's a system of how we do it. You drive on this side if you live in this country, you drive on this side if you live in that country. Where the steering wheel is, right? We live inside of systems. And people tend to resist systems, but systems give me ease, give me structure, They give me freedom. And so when I work with my clients to have exponential growth, what systems do we need to put in place? What's the highest income producing activity only you can do? And let's learn how to monetize that, right? Quit doing the minutia, quit doing the time waster stuff. Let's focus on the things that are going to make us now money now. So I started entrepreneurship just as a need to want to serve my community and build my community. And then I was speaking at this millionaires conference. I got invited to speak. They weren't in the beauty industry. They were outside of the beauty industry. And people would come up to me and say, will you teach me? I'm like, I don't know anything about your business. Like, I'm great. Graphic design, right? Doctors, attorneys. I'm like, I know nothing about that. And mind you, that conversation you have in your head that you're not good enough, you know, my PhD, doctors are wanting me to coach them in their business. I'm like, they're going to find out. I don't know. So I kept saying, no, 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 no. And then finally they quit. They couldn't stop asking. So I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to double my fee. I'm going to double my fee. Then they're going to say no. Well, you know what? I doubled my fee. They did not say no. They said yes. So I'm like, ooh. So that's where entrepreneurship came in. You know, always been an entrepreneur, but in the general market. And that's where I focus on now is entrepreneurs. You know, building from my sweet spot is between 10,000 to 10 million. After 10 million, I refer them to somebody else. But I think that's a good payday if we can build your business to 10 million. Yes?
I agree. I agree very much. So out of every business that you have helped within that 85%, how many businesses have either no system in place or the very minimum system in place, but it's just not enough?
Well, unfortunately, 80% of small businesses fail in the first 5 years. And it's not because they weren't good at their vocation. It's because they didn't have the systems. So that's saying 20% of the business succeed. Okay, so out of the 20% of the business, here's another scary stat. Out of 20% that are succeeding, 80% of those businesses aren't even paying themselves a paycheck that they would get working for somebody else. So then you look at that percentage, you're like, wow, that is such a small percentage of people who are even paying themselves. So my passion, my goal is let's do a wake-up call. Go, how do we make, there's only 1.7% of entrepreneurs in the country today that are hitting that $1 million status. 1.7%. To me, that's ridiculous. Right? It's because we just don't know, right? Then we don't even know what we don't even know. I just became a student of it because I was a single mom raising children. I had no alimony, no child support. I didn't have a choice. I had to figure this thing out in order to feed my babies, right? In order to pay my mortgage, in order to pay my car payment, in order to buy my shoes and jewelry. I like those things. So I had to figure it out. And so instead of you trying to figure it out, again, I put systems in place. I just wrote a new book called Power Your Profits, and it's the system of building a multi-million dollar business. The reality is every day we go to work, we're building a business. And so you're building it to keep or you're building it to sell. I want you to go into this conversation thinking, someday I'm going to sell my business. So if you're going to sell your business, how do you take you out of the business? What do we need to put in place so the business can run without you? If the business can run without you, you truly have a business, right? So it takes time, right? It takes thought process. It takes working on your business versus being the technician in your business. It takes commitment to a bigger game and a bigger vision. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but when you look at the landscape, I want to be in the 1% club. I don't know about you, right? That's my goal.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I want to be the 1% club too.
Yes.
So there's a key word that you said in there that I would love for you to break down to our audience so they understand the difference. When you say you don't want to be just a technician in your business, can you break that down to those who may not understand exactly what you mean by that?
Yes, perfect. So whatever your vocation is, if you're a doctor, that's the technician. So again, even a doctor, 15% of their success, because we've all had doctors that have horrible bedside manner. Didn't matter what great doctor they were so rude to you that you're like, I will never go back to them. Okay, that would be the technician side, you know, him not managing the 85% side, because they still have to have positive reviews, right? When you look at a graphic designer, when you sit down to design something, create something, that's when you're being the technician. As a speaker, when I'm speaking on a stage, I'm being the technician in my business, right? The other 85% is me looking at my marketing campaigns, my drip campaigns, my follow-up systems, my profit and loss, my pricing strategy. If I spend more time over there, that'll give me make me more effective while I'm being the technician. So an auto, if you own an auto mechanic store and you happen to be one of the providers and one of the service members, you're being the technician the minute you go under a car, look under a hood. If I'm checking out a customer, that might seem like business. No, now you're being the cashier, right? That's a $15 to $17 an hour job. That doesn't make any sense for me, for that person to do that job. So we want to look at what's the highest income producing activity you as the owner can do. I have to speak. Speaking is part of my revenue stream, but that's not the best. That's not everything that I do inside my business. That's a small sliver of my business so that I can leverage everything else in my business. For me, being a speaker is part of my marketing channel, right? I think every entrepreneur that wants to build a business has to be a speaker, because now we're talking to 50 people at once versus one person, one person, one person, one person.
Thank you. Thank you so much for breaking that down to us. So when it comes to the other end, the 85% of your business that you have to do, for those who are entrepreneurs who only go into it thinking about being the technician, but not being the business itself, what information or what advice do you have for them when it comes to that 85% until they are able to get the systems in place and to get it rolling? What advice would you give to them about the 85%?
Perfect. So I want us to realize that you're already working in a system, even if it's dysfunctional. You avoiding paying your bills is a system. Right? You not answering your emails is a system, right? You not putting a marketing campaign together is a system. It's avoidance. That's your system, right? So I want you to see that we have to start now. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. In the beginning of all my businesses, I was the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, right? So I did it all, and cleaning the toilets and, you know, doing the laundry, like everything that needed to be done to get the job done. So what you want to start with as an entrepreneur is the first thing we need to start with is a business plan. And I know people have said that in the past, and we all resist it. But the business plan gets all those ideas out of your head and puts them on paper. So when it is time to do marketing, you don't get distracted by the sparkle. Because there's so many opportunities that come to me in my business that if I wasn't really clear on what my intentionality is, what my goals is, I could just get distracted. To go, oh, I'm going to go do that. That'll be fun. That might be a business opportunity. But a lot of those don't pan out. So when you have your business plan has you look at your mission, your vision. Who am I? Who's my ideal client? But more importantly, Deanna, who's my qualified ideal client? Look, at Facebook's changed the game because Facebook gives a lot of fans. Fans aren't qualified customers. Qualified customers are the people that pay you. Fans are the people that support you and go, yay, they push the like button. I don't care how many likes I have. What I want is how many customers are saying yes, how many customers I'm transforming their life to, how many customers are stepping in. So don't get it twisted that I need, you know, 100,000 fans. Well, who cares if nobody's buying? That doesn't make any, I'd rather have 10 people buying than 100,000 people pushing a like button. So the first thing you do is put your business plan together. Second thing you do is you put your financial forecast together. How much money do you need to create? How much money do you need to create, and how many units do you need to sell? So what I mean by that is, if I want to create $1 million business, then I have to sell $83,333 each month. So if I need to sell $83,333 a month, how many things do I need to sell, right? So I have a $30,000 program that I sell. I have a $28 book that I sell. So when I look at, the units are going to be different. I might close 5 of the 30,000 and I might close 50 of the $28. So you need to look at, you want to measure dollars and you want to measure units. In my experience of coaching entrepreneurs, you're either good at one or the other. You're either good at looking, I can sell 10 things. Great, go sell 10 things. The 10 things will get us the number. Some people get overwhelmed, like $83,333.33. I can't do that. Can you sell 10 things? I can sell 10 things, but go sell 10 things. Whatever makes sense for you. Like, I've taken all these complicated financial things and simplified them because for me, for the longest time, math wasn't fun. It was scary. I did horrible. Mr. Syversons in 10th grade said, don't get a job that has math in it. Like, well, first of all, no job is going to put the alphabet in my math equation. Like, why are you throwing A's and X's and Z's in the math equation?
Why?
Why? I don't use that anywhere in my business right now. Nobody's putting a Z in there. So I wanted to make it simple so entrepreneurs really, I made them for myself, and then people would say, you know, Gianna would say, well, how did you figure that out? And I'd show my spreadsheet there. Oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like, I know, because I needed to figure it out for me. So most of what I put together was for me first. And then my clients wanted it. And so, you know, my goal is just, let's make it easy, right? We're going to work hard in a lot of areas. We don't have to beat ourselves up. I want to give you turnkey solutions that will help you get the quickest result. Because we're entrepreneurs, we need to get an ROI, which is a return on investment. I need some money in to pay that overhead that you have. Once we have the finance together, then we go, great, where are they hanging out that can afford? I need you to circle, underline, highlight, afford my service, right? Because there's so many entrepreneurs that love what they do and they're contributing and they're serving, but they're serving the wrong clientele. They can't afford them. They can't afford to pay for them. And they're like, my clients won't pay that. Good, well, go find new clients, right? That's what you want to do, is go find the clients that can afford you. So that's where the marketing plan comes in. The marketing plan comes in and says, oh, they're at associations, right? They're at networking groups. They're at chamber meetings, right? They're at these speaking events. They're at these high-level mastermind groups. I'm in a mastermind group today. I just closed a huge client because I'm telling him, sharing my strategies. Now, I paid to be in the mastermind. He's paid to be in the mastermind. But now he's looking at me going, wow, what you have is delicious. I know, it's pretty juicy, right? Because I'm the money. My job is fun and easy for me, but really hard for other people. Once you have your marketing, you figured out where you're going to get those people. And it's really important that we figure out who that ideal client is, how much money they make. Are they men? Are they women? Are they married? Are they not married? What's their home? What's the combined income? How much free cash flow do they have each month? When you know that information, then you just go shopping to where those clients are hanging out. For me, Deanna, one of the most important things to me is I have to love and adore working with you. Like, this is a relationship, and all money's not good money. I have spent years coaching the wrong people, working with the wrong people who just resist me and don't take coaching, and they're not doing the homework. I ain't got time for that. Nobody's got time for that. Go find people that love and adore you, want to work with you, and bonus, they pay you what you're worth.
Please.
Right? And the third process is sales. So once I go find these people, how do I close them? What do I say to close them? What's the strategy? What systems do I need to put in place to close them? Right? Those are the important foundational. How am I going to collect money? Right? What's my cancellation fee? Those things are incredibly important because we can start creating money, right? But if we don't know how to have the conversation, I have several clients that are really great, and I find entrepreneurs in this way. They're really good startup people. Like, they can go get people really excited, but they never ask for the sale. I used to hate sales. I want to say this. I want to just tell on myself. I hated sales. Hated. Girl, I'd have to get all my energy up just to call one person. Then I'd call them and I have to take a nap. It just wiped me out. I spun myself out so bad. But I kept at it because I knew I had to figure this out, right? We are the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. So I know I don't care if you don't like it. You got to do it,
yeah.
Right? If, as a mom or a man, there's things in your life you don't like doing. I don't like cleaning, but I got to do it, right? I don't like vacuuming, but the dog hair is in the corner. Got to clean it up. So there's things we don't like to do, and we do them anyways. And as a business person, when I look at the priorities, you got to master this priority or go work for somebody else, right? Because that's the option. Either do it and do it full out or go work for somebody else. But just don't not do it. That's why 88% of small businesses aren't making money, right? And they're failing is because they don't want to do it. I'm sorry. Suck it up, cupcake. Let's get this done. Follow the system. And then the last piece is operation. So once somebody comes into your business, how are you communicating? How are you talking to them? You know, what are the touch points? What do they need to hear from you? Are you doing a phone call touching them? Is somebody else doing a phone call touching them? We want to look at client fulfillment as the retention tool, right? I'd spent years getting people in my business, but then the retention tool was like, they bought something. I'm like, okay, great. They bought it. Let me get to the next. Wait a minute. our customers, you have a 90% chance to upsell that client or upservice that client that's already in your database. Let's work smart. Let's really look at what else could I serve, not sell, serve my clients. So when I'm thinking of service, then it takes the pressure off of you, takes the pressure off the client. That's the other 85%.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the breakdown. That, because starting a business, we, like I said, we always go in thinking, ooh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. We call it, the shiny things.
Yes.
We get caught up in the shiny, sparkly things and we forget about the other aspects of it.
Right.
And one of the biggest things, and it, Antonio had to help me through this, because I was just like, you, sales? I tell people all the time, I don't like sales. I'm not a salesperson. I don't want to be on the phone. Don't do that. But once Antonio explained to me, you're literally having a conversation with this person.
Right.
You're finding, we do what we call dig deep. You're finding out who is this person? Who are they? They shouldn't be just a dollar sign to you. Find out more about them, because what you have, they may not need. But you may have something that can serve them.
Yeah.
So talk to them. Find out who they are. Find out what their needs are. What are their goals, their passions? What are they struggling with? Because if you don't desire to be a public speaker or a professional speaker, and I'm sitting here, yeah, you know, we have a speaking program, and they're like, yeah, I don't want that. I just want to focus on my business. If you never spoke to them about that to find out what they're passionate about, then you're going to instantly lose the sale.
Right.
So in my personal journey, I've learned that like you said, we amp them up, we get them excited, but we never ask for the sale, is because you never really actually found out who that person was.
Right. I had a breakthrough in sales when I really started looking at, my job is to educate the client on what it is, why they need it, and how they implement it. That's my job. That's your job, right? If that, whatever our business is, whatever our specialty is. Now, I 150% believe in everything that I do, and I know you do as well, right? So yes. That's the difference between selling and serving, is 100% I'm walking my talk, the tongue in my mouth and my tongue in my shoe are going in the same direction. So our job is to educate, the client's job is to choose. So it's, you know, putting this buffet up and going, great, would you like to get started? Would you like to take advantage of it? Are you ready to get started? So when you have those questions, it allows the person to go, well, I am ready to get started, right? And then if they're not ready to get started, great, what do you need to do to get started? What do you need to do to make a decision? Because I see, based on what you said, this is the best thing for you. This is my recommendation. Powerful closing technique. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We have a whole system in chapter, I believe, 7 of the book that takes a customer from here, like being in the chaos, to getting them to a powerful yes or a powerful no in 10 minutes. No more hour discovery calls. No more hour sales calls. No, get them out of chaos into the yes or the no. Because there's going to be people that right now is not a good time. That's okay. If you're a good salesperson, for every 5 people you talk to, 1 will say yes. So you're going to get 4 no's to 1 yes. If you're a newbie, you're going to have 10 conversations to 1 yes. So when you look at it, it's just averages. And to go, I haven't even had 10 conversations today. If you're not having 10 conversations every day, you're not making any money. You're going to have 10 conversations today to get to the yes, to pay your bills, to live a life that you love. Like, it's a system. Like, it's in my calendar. I have time to serve and connect. So in my calendar, it doesn't say sales time, because nobody wants to do sales. I want to do sales. But I do want to serve and connect, right? So in my sales time, it says creating wealth strategies for my clients. That's what it says. Because if you take on my programs, I'm going to help you create wealth strategies in your business. It's not about selling, right? Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants that. Now, my job is to figure out, how can you afford that? Let me show you how you're gonna pay for that. That makes sense?
Yes,
completely. So delicious.
So there was something that you mentioned earlier, and in working with Antonio, it's something that we all learn here too. You mentioned personal development.
Yes.
How important is personal development to the entrepreneur and the profits that they bring in for their business?
That's such a great question, because I think most people think they don't need it, right? They're like, oh, got that handled. But I'm gonna throw a wrench in that thinking. Your net worth will only go as high as your self-worth. Mm. Your net worth will only go as high as your self-worth. So we call it the UPL, which is your upper limit conversation, or ULP, right? Upper limit conversation. So if I look at that, we all have a threshold. For some people, it's $100,000. That's their goal. I remember when I first started business, I just wanted to do 100 grand. Now, I didn't know what I would do with 100 grand once I got it, but that was my first goal, right? But I had to work through, what does that mean, right? What does it mean for my family? What does it mean to my community? There's a lot of people worry about, will they leave their friends? Will their family not like? And it sounds crazy, but a lot of people get jealous. So we keep ourselves playing small. So one, you have to be aware, what's my upper limit conversation, right? If I say $1 million and that doesn't excite you, it scares you, there's an upper limit conversation. If I say 10 million and that scares you, there's an upper limit conversation. If I say 50 million and it scares you, right? So whatever that number is, we all have a number we're comfortable with or the deservability of it. So, you know, I have several different coaches. So I have three financial coaches, right? So one's a tax strategy, one's an investment strategy, and one's my my executive bonus strategies, right? So three financial people. I have one business coach, I have a PR coach, a marketing coach, and I have a personal development coach, AKA therapist, right? So I know that I have to work on my mindset, because as I start entering a level, working with a higher level of client, I have to make sure that I can go toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose, right? I have to make sure that I'm comfortable in those conversations. And the only way you're going to do that is, one, you've got to get coaching around that, support around that. Two is, you got to keep putting yourself in that situation. I'm in this group, Yana, that you have to qualify to be in this group. So you have to turn in your P&Ls, turn in certified accounting, and it's 7, 8, 9 figure women, right? And the first time I went, you know, I sent in my number, sent in everything. They approved me to come. I came. I was a little nervous, right? These are the big girls in the industry, right? They're the movers and shakers. They're playing. I'm the little fish. I'm the minnow in this group, right? These women are playing huge and ginormous, and I'm playing huge and ginormous, but I noticed myself getting intimidated. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a quiet person. I've learned to just speak up and say my mind. I found myself kind of shrinking, and I had to check myself, because if you're in business meetings and you're shrinking, you're not going to get to sell. If you're in business meetings and you don't say what you need to say, or ask, this is the big one, ask for what you need. We as women don't know how to ask for what we need. We have a tendency to play smaller. We have a tendency to shut down. We have a tendency to give somebody else the floor. And the reality is, that's all personal development. That's all self-esteem, right? That's all, am I worthy, right? We don't charge what we're worth, men and women, because we have that not good enough conversation. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not, you know, light enough. I'm not dark enough. Whatever the enough is, we all have the enough, right? So you have to understand, what's my enough that's running me in my business? So I have, I'm not good enough. That one runs me, but I flip the switch. It also works for me, because I'm going to work harder than anybody else, right? I'm going to do better than the best. And if I did not work on my personal development, I would work myself. I would beat myself up, because it's never enough. Right? So you want to understand, what's my enough? What's the thing that runs me? Identify it, get coaching around it, right? A really good coach will tell you what you don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. An exceptional coach will show you what you don't want to see, so that you could be the person you knew that you could be. A good coach, it's not about ego. A good coach, it's not about putting you down. A good coach is about raising you up, holding you accountable, and making sure you're getting stuff done.
Wow. You definitely touched on a lot of things that I know a lot of entrepreneurs deal with. When I first started my business, it was the, you're not good enough, you don't know enough.
Yes.
And when people started asking questions, it was like, oh, wait, they're going to, like you said, they're going to find out. It's like, they're going to find out, I don't know. And it's the, but it's also, like you said, it's also equal to your net worth is equal to your self-worth.
Yes.
And so, and before any of us are actually able to even work on a certain level with Antonio, we have to go through personal development. We have to go through leadership coaching, because he understands there's a certain mindset that we have to fight through before you can even get to this level, because of the I don't know or anything like that. Like I tell, I just recently started telling people, you know, he, not only am I Antonio's executive assistant, but he also made me COO of the company. And I tell people all the time, you say you have a PhD. I tell people all the time, yeah, I have a GED, you know, but I'm the COO and I'm the CEO of the company now. And I put in the work. I did the personal development, but it took a lot to get there. And it's a consistency. You have to consistently work on it. You know, like you said, when you get into a room with the big players, like you said, and you consider yourself the minnow, and it's like, oh, you get to that point, you know. So thank you so much for sharing with us, for, you know, being transparent and sharing with us, because I believe a lot of entrepreneurs, when we get to a certain level, we literally pause our companies because of how we think about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, the I don't know enough, I'm not worthy, I don't have what I need. And we miss out on a lot of huge opportunities because we put that energy out there and people catch that energy, and you miss your biggest opportunity because of how you feel about yourself.
Yes.
So thank you so very much for putting that out there for us.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Antonio is a powerful leader, right? Just based on what you said, if you listen to what Diana said, was he doesn't make you, he invites you, right? But he makes you. If you want to stay here, you want to play here, you got to work on yourself.
Right.
So when I look at that, because your company will only grow as your weakest link. So I do the same thing with my organization. Most of the time, people, I outgrow them because we're growing at accelerated rate. So if whoever is the weakest link in your company, even if they are a virtual assistant, even if that, you know, it's a virtual team, you're only as good as your weak link, because somebody won't either follow the billing, or they won't charge the right fee, or, you know, they'll disrespect the company in somehow, some manner, because their limitation, their own personal limitation, can't play as big as the founder or the owner. So it's incredibly important, as you grow, your team has to grow, as they will hold you back, not on purpose. Nobody's doing it on purpose. It's all unconscious and all, you know, self-sabotage. No one's doing it, right? Even your own sabotage. You know, that's why they call it denial, because you don't know.
So when it comes to that point, when you're an entrepreneur, how, we just talked about it, but I want you, Ms. Susie, to just be straightforward with the audience. How important is it to know when to let go?
Everybody take a deep breath with me. As an entrepreneur, that's the hardest one, right? So the first person I always hire is my operations person. So in any company that I've started, usually I start as the technician, right? Right now, I'm the speaker, I'm the trainer, I'm the technician. So the first person I have to hire is a you. Right, that COO, that operations, because you're going to get things done. It can't bottleneck with me. And my COO, my operations person, has complete autonomy with me. Right, so they know my values, they know who I am. Right, we're working in complete harmony and synergy. So day one, you have to let go. Right, if your business plan is really clear, it's easier to let go because you've laid out your 3 to 5 years. And then people coming in can do their job. Listen, if you hire someone and I have to tell you how to do your job, one of us isn't needed. Like if you hire me as a coach, you don't have to tell me how to coach you. You don't have to tell me what your business needs. I look at what your business needs, and then I tell you what to do inside of your business. Now you have to take action. But it, you know, it's like if I brought you in as my COO and I'm telling you what to do, well, then you're not really qualified to be my COO. You should be telling me what to do. You should be saying, we need to put this in place, this in place, this in place, right? To really maximize your gifts and your talents. What I find that we do as leaders is we don't let you shine, right? We're competing. We're competing with you. I can do it. I don't care that I can do it. I can do it too. I can do everything my online business manager does. I don't want to do it. I'm doing other things. So it's really, if you're going to bring people on, bring exceptional people on. I always pay people more. Right, I want to find better talent, pay more because I get more. Don't be cheap, right? You're trying to be cheap, trying to grow a multi-million dollar business. No, you get what you pay for. We all know that, right? With shoes and clothes, right? A nicer quality piece of clothing. Here's a great example. I'm on the West Coast. It's raining right now. It's cold right now. I cannot wear a jacket from the West Coast and go to the East Coast. That jacket will not keep me warm on the East Coast. That is a pretend jacket. Trust me. You don't know that until you bought a pretend jacket in California and went to the East Coast. Even if it says wool, it's some pretend wool. It's not the New York wool. There's a whole other wool where it's really cold than it is in California, because we don't need that kind of wool here. We don't. Very rarely do I wear a jacket, and very rarely do I wear closed-toed shoes, right? We just don't have that kind of weather here. So you get what you pay for. So when I wore my pretend jacket to New York, I froze my booty off. I had to literally put that jacket in my suitcase and go buy a real jacket. So when I go to the East Coast, so I have my East Coast jackets and I have my pretend jackets called California jackets. I got what I paid for. I got a pretend jacket. For 70, you know, our the coldest we get here is like 60 degrees. We're like, we're freezing.
It's the same here in Texas. It's dropped down to the 30s here before, so we're kind of in between. We have some real jackets, some pretend jackets, you know.
Right, we don't know how to dress in that weather. Like, what do you mean layers? Someone say layers. I'm like, layers?
But thank you for using that analogy. Thank you very much. Because as entrepreneurs, we want to hire friends and family, not understanding or not realizing that they may not fit. They're only going to grow so far. And in personal experience and in any business experience, like you said earlier, you have to understand that you're going to lose some people. And right. The people that you lose will be those friends or those family members. And if they're working with you, like you said, there's going to be the self-sabotage. There's going to be the competition. And so as entrepreneurs, it's extremely important for us to understand that you can love everybody, but you can't take everybody with you.
Right.
Not if their personal development isn't where it needs to be. You know, Antonio tells us all the time, we have to grow. You can't stay stagnant where you are. Your growth has to be consistent. And as much as the business grows, like you said, you have to grow with your leader, because if you don't, it becomes an issue of the self-sabotage. Your level of thinking has reached its roof. And now it's time to go to the next level, but you're still stuck here. And it's like, okay, yeah. You know, so thank you so much for sharing that with us, because that's very important for any business. As a CEO, and you were saying earlier how you're a mother, you had to figure something out, you know, because you have to take care of the kids. How have you, in that growth, how have you balanced the entrepreneur and being the parent?
So I learned early on that it was quality, not quantity, of time with my children. So I went to this parenting class. My kids were in this seminar, personal development. I started them young. Like, you are not going to have my childhood. And so while the kids were learning, they were learning integrity-based conversations. They were learning how to be responsible. They were learning how to, you know, speak their voice. So it was a very powerful seminar. And then they took all the parents in another room. And they said, okay, so we want the working parents on this side of the room. We want the stay-at-home parents on this side of the room. So they divided us in half. They said, okay, working parents, what are the conversations your children have? I'm like, they want me to be like Mrs. Key's mom and stay home and make cookies all the time. And then the parents that stayed home said, they want to be like Susie's mom and be pretty and have a job and show up in high heels. And they don't know what I do, right? But they want her to be her. And we both sat there and realized, like, they both want the other side of the fence. So it didn't matter if Mrs. Key stayed home, Johnny wanted me. It didn't matter that my kids wanted me to be Mrs. Key's, right? Or yeah, you know what I mean? So it was hilarious. It was the biggest epiphany for me. I'm like, it's about quality of time with your family. Like my values are my faith first, my family second, my career third. And so I know that if I'm not right in those three areas, if I'm not praying, if I'm not humble, you can go out meditating, whatever you want, I call God, right, to guide me to have that strong belief. And if I'm not putting my family second, like, what do I am providing for them. Work is providing for my family, but I can't be all about work, right? I have to be able to look at, when do I spend time? So it's in my calendar. That sounds really silly, but I have time with my children, time with my grandchildren, right? Sundays are our family day, right? At least one or two days a week, I'm spending time with my daughters, right? And being, you know, now we're in a different relationship. They're grown. To go, how do you be a mom to a grown daughter, right? To be able to influence her, but stay out of her business, right? Where's the line? We do family vacation. Now, I'm happy to pay for the family vacation because they're young and fabulous and broke. So let me put that into our family structure so that we can have that time together and create those memories for my family. So that's incredibly important to me. And everything I do is for my family and who my children are. I didn't leave my children with babysitters. I took them with me. Like if I was speaking and they could be at that event, they would be in the back of the room coloring or doing homework, right? They early on, we used to have these binders that we would sell and they would pack the binders. And so they earned money, right? They earned money inside of my business. So I always took them along and they learned how to negotiate with me, right? They learned the value of a dollar. You know, I remember my youngest one just crying, "We have to work for everything. So-and-so gets an allowance." I'm like, "Whatever, I have to work for everything too. So you don't get allowance. You got to earn that money." And so they both really have high respect for what we went through, right? From being a single mom to creating a multi-million dollar business because they've been part of it. And as women, they're both huge contributors to their community, right? My oldest daughter went to Harvard and Wharton. I say I did too because I paid for it. She has the real degrees. I just have that PhD. Right. And so she's making a difference with women in finance and, you know, really proving herself in that market. And then my youngest one is a medical esthetician. You know, she's got two babies at home and going to school to be a nurse. So that entrepreneur spirit of it's not enough. And I want to make it better for my family. Right. So it's amazing to see who they are as women now based on, I felt guilty when I was on airplane. I felt guilty that I didn't spend enough time with them. I felt guilty I wasn't at every game. But what I did do, girl, is I took a picture every time I was at that game. I'm taking a picture. I was there. See, I got evidence.
Proof.
I got evidence. Okay, you know how kids are. You need the evidence. They're like, "You weren't there. Uh-huh, let's go in the scrapbook. I'm going to show you. I was at the game." So I think we, as parents, have to let ourselves off the hook and to go, "What? How am I spending time with my children? Am I giving them the values? Am I giving them life skills? You know, am I giving them financial skills? Like, look at what you didn't get in your own youth and go, how do I be a better parent? Our parents did great, as dysfunctional as they were. We did great, as dysfunctional as we are." I love it now. My daughter's a mom and she's like, I don't know how you did it, Mom. I don't know how. And I'm like, oh, finally, it's coming back around. The gratitude. She goes, "You built a business and you were a single mom. And how did you do all that?" I'm like, "I don't know. I had to. I just didn't have a choice." I think a lot of times entrepreneurs, we choose, right? I didn't have a choice. I didn't have someone to back me up. I didn't have someone go, "Oh, I'll pay the rent." No. If I didn't have the money for the rent didn't get paid. If I have money for the school payment, it didn't get paid. So there's a fire under you. And not that I want anyone to feel that fire and feel that way and not have support, but it does create something when you have that back door going, "Well, I have to work that hard." Let's play like you do. Like, let's put something at stake, right? Whether you're at stakeness is, you know, a family vacation. I have a client, Nikki Clue, who was interior designer and she was her own best customer. She made no money. and her husband was a neurosurgeon. So she didn't have to make money, right? Mm-hmm. And she raised three boys and she didn't have to, but she realized she wanted to. And all of a sudden we put a goal in place. She wanted to take her family on a European vacation that she paid for all by herself. And her husband didn't pay for anything because he had always provided. And so I remember when she sent me pictures of we're in a European vacation that I paid for all by myself through my business. That was the goal. That was her why. Like, let's not have why survival. Let's have why be something fun and exciting and sexy. We got to make it up. Make up something good. Quit making up the struggle, right? We're addicted. Struggle as entrepreneurs. This is hard. Well, let's make it fun. What can you do to make your business fun and make an impact for your children in the world?
Thank you. Thank you for that so much. I have had the pleasure of interviewing mothers who were single, who had to, you know, figure it out. And I always ask that question because I always want to know, like, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I always get that same answer. You know, you involve them, but make time. And like you said, quality over quantity is not how much time you spend with them, but the quality of the time that you spend with them. So for my mothers out there who are entrepreneurs, please understand that it's the quality that you spend with them, not the quantity. And yeah. And like you said, give yourself a break. You know. So my next, your new book, can you let us know when your new book is coming out? You told us about a chapter in your book. So can you let us know when your new book, Power Your Profits, releases? Where can we go to find it and give us a little information about it?
I would love to. Thanks for asking. So I'm so excited about this. This is my 10th book, which I'm very excited about.
Yay!
It's the first time with a major publisher, so we're with Simon & Schuster, which is very exciting. And so you can find the book on PowerYourProfitsBooks.com, PowerYourProfitsBook.com, and you can pre-order now. Comes out May 5th, but if you buy it now, you get about $5,000 worth of bonuses. So we're doing a five-day challenge. You get access to my cash calculator and six of the tools that are in the book, right? So six tools that are money-making tools, so that one's a base price worksheet, one's an assessment on your whole business, and they have little videos that go with it, so you're not just looking at a sheet like, what do I do with this? I don't have a book, but I have this sheet. What do I do with it? So I made a little video that goes with each one to explain what it is. So it's about $5,000 worth of bonuses, you know, just for supporting me. I want to give back to you, right? I believe that if the law of reciprocity, right, I come bearing gifts, and part of my gift is when you invest in me, I invest in you too.
Yay! So everyone, Power Your ProfitsBooks.com, and we'll also put it in the show notes so you can just click the link and easily get easy access to pre-order your book. Now, Miss Susie, this is a question that I ask everyone before we end the interview, and I always say you've already been discussing it throughout the interview, but my question is to you: what do you believe has been your true secret to success?
That's juicy. I would say for me, the hunger to make a difference. I started this journey in each business that I had because when I started as a hairdresser, I wanted to make people beautiful and feel good. Right. And then once I figured out how to run, you know, do $250,000 in that industry, I wanted to teach my community to do that. And then once I did that, you know, went into the entrepreneurial space, I'm like, let me show you how to do this, right? So it's been the lessons that have been the hardest for me to learn are the things that I love to teach, because I learned so much from it, and I never want anyone to have that experience. You might have another lesson, but you won't have that, right? Or if you do fall, somebody's there to pick you up. So I think our gift from God is our life. Our gift back to God is what we make of our life. And so this is my gift back to God, is being able to serve my community, help other men and women grow their businesses and their financial success.
That is amazing. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today with Miss Susie Carter, the Profit Coach. It has been a true pleasure speaking with you today, Miss Susie. Please let everyone know where they can reach out to you.
Awesome. So on all my social media handles and my website is my name, Susie Carter, C-A-R-D as in dollar, E-R, D as in dinero, D as in dollar. And that's Susie, S-U-S-I-E, C-A-R-D-E-R. So love to support you, love to help you. Anything I can do to help you really start living your legacy, because that's what this is about.
Awesome. Thank you, Miss Susie. We will make sure for our listening audience that they'll be able to get your book and be able to reach out to you. Everything will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for the Secret to Success podcast. And as our Our CEO, Mr. Antonio T. Smith Jr., always says, you can plant better, you can dominate. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Susie.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if you already know this, but you're already absolutely perfect. You're already absolutely great, and you're already living in massive abundance. The most important things that you have is not what you have, it's not what you do, it's what you know. Because the people who do know what you need to know to lead the middle class, they're in the top 1%, and they control 96% of the world's income. 97% of this world is trading time for money, and that is not the way to become rich, it's not the way to become wealthy, and it is absolutely not the way to leave the middle class. There are 7.8 billion people in the world right now, and they all want to learn how to make money and how to leave the middle class. But the way to become a master at anything is to learn all the rules and then bend them to your favor. Right now in this world, there are 2,057 billionaires. Right now. So if you think becoming a billionaire is impossible, that's 2,057 people that have already proved that impossibility incorrect. And if you think that's crazy, there are 46.8 million millionaires in the world, worldwide right now. Now think about that. 46.8 million millionaires, and that number grows 1,730 millionaires every single day. Money is everywhere. You don't need to max out your credit cards. You don't need to borrow from granddad and grandma. Just look behind me. Look at all the wealth sitting behind me in this junkyard. It's insane how much money is everywhere, and you don't need to go out there and beg, borrow, and steal to get it. You just need to know the rules of making money and how to leave the middle class. Essentially, all you need to know is the algorithm of making money, the rules of making money. All you need to know is what to do and how to do it, and you can leave the middle class. Any industry, yoga, golf, underwater basket weaving, clipping fingernails, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is know how to do it, how to get it done, and then find somebody to teach you how to do it, how to get it done, and you will be able to leave the middle class. If you're not getting my point, it's real simple. Whatever you have up here, as long as you understand the rules of leaving the middle class, as long as you understand how to get money, you can take what's up here and get wealthy from what you already have. Right now, the very thing you know up here is already being searched 1,000 times a second on Google. Someone right now, actually 1,730 people right now, are going to become a millionaire from the stuff that you have in your head. Why can't this be you? I mean, it's 1,730 people with your ideas that are no better than you, that are going to leave the middle class, become a millionaire. Why are you not next? So how do we do this? How do we take what you know and apply it to objective money-making secrets and then allow you to leave the middle class? How do we take you from where you are and let you escape to where you want to go? So how do we make all this money or take all this knowledge from the Warren Buffetts, from Elon Musk? How do we take everything that everyone before you has done, and how do we take all of that and then put it in your head so you can leave a legacy for your family? My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr. 32 years ago, I lived in a trash can. That's right, from 6 to 14, I had no running water, no electricity, no anything, and somehow I'm in the top 1% today. Not because I had the right background, not because I had a silver spoon in my mouth, simply because being homeless made me learn how to make money. I retired when I was 29 years old. I'm more than likely younger than you. I'm one of the top 1% income earners in one of the richest countries in the world. What I learned how to do when I was 6 years old was learn how to generate enough money to eat some cookies so I wouldn't die to death from starvation. From there, I learned how to go from cookies to a meal. From a meal to clothes to shelter to everything else that supplied my necessary needs. When I was 6, I was forced to learn how to make money, and now that's what I'm gonna do and help you do. I've seen amazing results. I have my own economy, I've homeschooled my own children, and I wrote a book that teaches you every single thing that I know about making money, every single thing that other people know about making money, and most importantly, all the stuff that we don't tell you. Because the truth is, and you know it like I know it, the most honest, the most hardworking, unselfish people on planet Earth live in the middle class. Yet, your honesty, your unselfishness, your devout religion-going self is not enough to get to the top 1%, and that's not fair. The second half of my life has been not about how much money I make, but how I will be remembered from all the money that I have made. And I've been trying to teach everybody how to get out the middle class. I'm the crazy guy, famous on the internet for trying to create 100,000 millionaires. I've created 8 so far. I got a 9th one on the way, all the way from India. That's pretty cool. And what I want to tell you is something very simple. It's been hard. It's been absolutely hard to help people leave the middle class, not because of the people, because the system would rather keep you being someone else's money instead of you having your own economy and having the money come fine and flow to you. It was frustrating because I knew that anybody can make money. And if you knew what I knew, you would change your life. Over the last few years, I built a large following of over 500,000 people every month that pay me to give them advice. Well, that's been exciting for me. And the cool thing is I've created thousands of six-figure earners. I've created millionaires. I've created people who can live their dreams and hold on to their legacies. And now my eyes are on you to create you to what you need to be great. I have been teaching my principles and these principles to hundreds of thousands of people around the world, every country, all continents, and anyone who has taken them seriously, written them down, and applied them have a 100% success rate of leaving the middle class. I've taught these secrets to my following and my inner network, and I've watched them go from 4 figures to 5 figures, 5 figures to 6 figures, 7 figures, all the way to 8. Everything that I've ever learned, everything I've ever learned from millionaire mentors, billionaire mentors, and everything I learned from being homeless, and everything that got me into the top 1%, I have placed inside of a book. To date, it is the longest book that I've ever written, the most best book that I've ever written, and that book is called The Richest Man in the Trash Can, and I'm offering it to you today for free. This book is going to show you how to become wealthy into the top 1% and leave the middle class. This book is going to give you a step-by-step plan if you're 30 years old, all the way to 70 years old, how to get into the top 1%. If you're a teenager, how to get to the top 1%. If you're a millennial, how to get to the top 1%. It's going to teach you how to make 6 figures immediately, teach you how to get to $1 million immediately, and all that good stuff. Plus, I'm going to give you the 36 objective laws of leaving the middle class. Plus, I'm going to give you every last one of my secrets that have made me rich. You have to understand that leaving the middle class is the most important fight that you're going to have in your life. And to be honest with you, you can kind of relate to this. It almost takes $450,000 a year just to be broke in America. And that's just in America. If you don't leave the middle class, which is actually an illusion, then you are gonna have a really hard time. Think about it for a second. Most of you are gonna be watching this are gonna be baby boomers, and you've been sold a bad check. They lied to you. Your retirement was not enough for you to live comfortable, and I'm gonna give you this book for free so you can figure out how to triple your retirement and then quadruple your retirement, and then, as Grant Cardone would say, 10x your retirement so you can live the life that's worthy of you. I want you to remember that leaving the middle class is the most important battle that you could ever face in your entire life, especially for your family. So consider this video, this book, your friendly tap on the shoulder. I want to send you a free copy of this book because I believe that abundance is your birthright. I believe that abundance is freedom. And I believe that this book is right for you. In fact, I believe in that so much that I will send you the book for free. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. I'll eat the cost. I'll take the loss. And all you have to do is get the book and dominate your reality right now and apply the principles so you can be the best person for your life that is yours. Fill out the form sitting right there to the right. Go ahead, dominate your reality. I can't wait to send you my book. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to have you as someone that's been on the journey with me. Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can plan better. You can dominate.
Our next guest is the CEO of a Facebook competitor. It is called MeWe. It is a next-gen social platform with a focus on privacy. The company has surpassed 5.5 million members. CEO Mark Weinstein with us now in a Fox Business exclusive. Welcome to the program, Mark. Glad to have you with us. So why the focus on privacy, or taking advantage of Facebook's public stumbles?
Well, Deirdre, I'm one of the guys who invented social networks, and it was never, social networks were never invented to be what we call now surveillance capitalism, which is what Facebook is. Their members are not customers to serve, their data to sell and data to target. So it really, MeWe is a fully, you know, fledged social network with all the features people love. The privacy is our privacy bill of rights. We don't sell your data. We don't target you. We don't mess up your news feeds. We have a freemium business model, so everything you love is free, and you can, you know, traditional capitalism, great capitalism. You can spend money on in-app purchases, or you can just enjoy the free service. There's nothing, you know, you can't be targeted for your vote or your opinion. It's social media the way it was meant to be.
So then, Mark, honestly, how do you make money? Because we all know when we use Facebook, it's free for the user, but we know because we are not paying that we become the product. So that Facebook is gathering data on
us,
and I think some people even say Facebook isn't a social company, it's a data company. But then how do you make money? Are people paying your company for subscriptions?
No, it's very important. MeWe is free forever. But now we know that the freemium model works, and MeWe is, we're doing great with revenue. We have 2,800 free emojis, but we've got great custom emojis, custom stickers.
So live people pay
live
you
videos,
for those.
A pay option. Right, and live voice, live video, secret encrypted chat. MeWe pages are $1.99 a month, but you reach 100% of your followers all the time. So for $24 a month, you don't have to boost anything. So if you have 500,000 followers or 5,000 followers or 10 million followers, you reach everybody. At Facebook, you reach 5%. Then you got to pay to boost, and then their algorithm messes the whole thing up anyhow. So MeWe is really true, pure social media. It's social networking done right, and people love it. Yeah,
so,
we're growing organically with no ads, and we're not even marketing MeWe, and we're growing by tens of thousands of people every day.
So, Mark, we have some stats about your company. As you're speaking, 5.5 million users right now, which is impressive. But how are you going to keep growing that? Because one telephone is not so fun. Two telephones work. Basically, you need more people to sign up.
Well, people are signing up, Deirdre, every day. And here's the beautiful thing about MeWe. So we also have some major, major deals that are not announced with some huge influencers worldwide. But even without them, we grew 405% last year. We're targeting, you know, we actually target, we'll have over 30 million members by the end of this year, over 150 million by the end of next year. We're growing twice as fast already this year. And people also move in groups. This is really, we have never seen something like this. So constituencies move to people. So many people are censored or blocked or violated on Facebook, and they all move to MeWe. So the growth is fantastic.
Quick question, Mark. You say Facebook, as an aside, should not be broken up. Why is that?
Listen, we compete with Facebook great. Snap competes with Facebook. Twitter competes with Facebook. Breaking up Facebook doesn't solve the problem that they are a surveillance company transacting data. By the way, also transacting data from non-members. They track all of us. Remember, the Cambridge Analytica CEO said they had data on 230 million adult, really every adult in America. Now, Facebook's new rules that you talked about today, that's a bunch of BS. Facebook has had rules the whole time. They break their rules all the time. That's the problem. Rules at Facebook mean nothing.
Mark, we thank you very much for the time. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the growth.
Thank you, Deirdre.
I just rapper out, and I'm richer than your favorite rapper. And I'm both in an MF like I'm David Banner. I'm a pit bull with no leash. Listen to me growl. The game is full of Gilligan, so I became thirst of power. I kill rap for Beyonce with the swag of her husband. And I'm stronger than 10 girls that's dragging your cousin. I'm bugging. Like that murderous hornet I hear about. Rappers cluttered. OCD, I had to clear it out. I dare they keep up. I'm on some Usain Bolt vibe, and they jumping out their skin like they sad meat. So sigh, I'm a nice guy, but I'm extremely obsessive. Somebody holding my Grammy, I'm extremely possessive. The greatest rapper alive ain't me by a long shot, but I just pulled up to the street and it's a long block. and I'm waking you boys up like alarm clocks while blowing the game up like a bomb clock.
When the pandemic began, I had the biggest problem in the world. Not making money. The pandemic was actually quite a blessing for me, as it almost made me a billionaire. I came really close. So the pandemic was a blessing. It was hiring people. And get this, everybody. I had 48 job positions open during the pandemic. $22 an hour with paid training. And I could not find a single person for 2 years to fit any of those 48 job positions. Hear me well. 48 job positions, $22 an hour, paid training, and I couldn't find someone, not one person, for those job positions. Now, is it because I hire slowly? True, but it's because I wasn't using ZipRecruiter, and that's a fact. I wasn't getting to the right people for the right position to fit my right culture. And there are so many different things that you can do this summer. As a matter of fact, you can free up as much time as you want to. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're probably not going to free up that time if you're attempting to hire people. So what is ZipRecruiter? What is probably the greatest job finder that's out there? And that's why you need ZipRecruiter. You need it so you can find the right candidates. Now, it's not that ZipRecruiter helps you find jobs. It's more accurately that ZipRecruiter takes your culture, takes your job, takes what you're looking for, and immediately matches them with the perfect candidate. And if they can't find a perfect candidate, they will skip over that person and then give you the perfect candidate for you. ZipRecruiter uses one of its most powerful tools, which is the technology itself, to match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review their recommendations and easily review their recommended candidates and invite these candidates to apply for your top positions. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy for you to filter out, review, and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employees have been used by 4 out of 5 employers on ZipRecruiter. It is a blessing. And no wonder ZipRecruiter is rated #1 hiring site in the world based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of this year, January 1st. My friends, soak up everything I said. It's not an ad. This is a personal testimony of how I found the right people to sit in the right seat on the right bus. Without ZipRecruiter, it wouldn't have been possible. So how do you take advantage of what I'm talking about? Well, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/B2B, all spelled the regular way. That's Zip, Z-I-P, Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R, ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. And I promise you, you will be grateful that you did so. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. It's also in the show notes.